But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with some highlights on the questionably legal migrant responsible for stealing every American's private information. Move on to the U.S.-Israeli colonizer plan for Gaza, and follow all of that up with why white South Africans just got special refugee status. Let's begin, shall we? Well, we've got some good news to start, and it's going to piss off the South African Adolf Hitler. U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmeyer issued a formal piece of paper that says Apartheid Clyde and his tech lads are blocked from accessing the U.S. Treasury's payment system and ordered any information they downloaded while they were illegally accessing American sensitive data to be destroyed. All thanks to 18 U.S. Attorneys General, including New York superstar Letitia James, who correctly determined that just because you call yourself a special government employee doesn't make it so. Because there's no such thing as a special government employee. Now, this block is temporary, expiring just in time for Valentine's Day. Which feels a bit weird, but at least for the next few days, the swastika gremlin and his minions can't do any more damage. Which brings me to one of the most cliche and over-asked questions of all time. How did we get here? And the answer to that question appears to be...
Thank you to Elon. And he knows those computers better than anybody. Those vote-counting computers.
You know, it's only because they... rig the election that I'll be your president.
So it is true, or allegedly, that we all have the Nazi saluting dark maggot to thank for the Cheeto stained timeline we find ourselves living in. But I'm actually talking about the reason why 18 U.S. attorney generals had to get together and get a district court judge to make a ruling on a Friday night to stop the South African dipshit. Roll tape.
The Department of Government Efficiency, led by Elon Musk. Well, he's now gained access to sensitive Treasury data that includes the federal government's payment system.
The system that the Treasury Department uses to disperse almost every check and expenditure of any kind made by the U.S. government.
This is the system that is used to dole out more than $6 trillion of payments every year. Everything from Social Security benefit payments to Medicare benefits to when you get a tax refund from the federal government.
That is a vast database with millions of Americans' personal information on it.
Longtime government employees this week were shocked to find that their new supervisors from Elon Musk's DOGE department include recent college and high school graduates between 19 and 24 years old. One of the young men is apparently a former intern at Musk's Neuralink company, who goes by the online handle Big Balls.
DOGE personnel wanted access to security systems, to personnel information, and to areas where classified information is held, of course, highly restricted areas. Eventually, we are told, the DOGE personnel were able to get in.
Elon Musk's sweeping push to make over the federal government, sparking Democratic panic and warnings of a constitutional crisis.
And if we're being honest here, allowing a guy who came to this country on a student visa in 1995, who let that visa expire because he dropped out of Stanford University, the reason why he was here on a student visa, and then started working while he was in this country illegally and didn't bother to become a U.S. citizen until 2002. After having lived and worked in the United States as an illegal immigrant for 7 years, not paying taxes, by the way, letting that guy send his special band of H-1B hackers with thumb drives into the U.S. Treasury to look for wasteful spending has got to be one of the most brazen data mining campaigns that I have ever seen in my entire 47 years. And I'm old enough to remember when Anonymous hacked Scientology back in 2008. Good times. But here in the final season of America, We've got nearly every American's private data being copied onto a flash drive by a 19-year-old douche named Big Balls. We're talking about everyone's name, address, social security number, banking details, employment, and medical history, and anything and everything the U.S. government knows about each and every one of us is now in the hands of a villain heir. And we're all supposed to be, like, scared of China getting our data from TikTok. Remember that nearly unanimous vote by both congressional houses that was about protecting our data from China? Well, thanks a fucking lot, Congress. Because while you were worried that China was going to steal Americans' data so they could use TikTok to convince Americans to hate their government, the Teslical Fuhrer was busy getting to know those vote counting computers so his $270 million investment into the 2024 election did not go to waste, so he could pillage the U.S. Treasury for every bit of data on Americans it has.
You didn't see that coming?
No, Congress did not see that coming. How could they, when they were so distracted by the Commander-in-Chief making public declarations with his Sharpie over the last couple of weeks?
The Trump team promised shock and awe to start his second term.
Administration officials have forced out all six of the FBI's most senior executives and multiple heads of various FBI field offices.
Fired at least 17 inspector generals.
More than two dozen federal prosecutors who worked on January 6 cases were fired.
More than 1,000 senior civil workers and contractors were fired, furloughed, or placed on leave.
The Department of Education, a number of people have been placed on administrative leave.
The Trump administration removed transgender references from federal government websites. It now reads LGB instead of LGBT.
The Trump administration ordering all gender ideology references be removed, including pronouns and email signatures.
President Donald Trump did order water released from two dams in the Central Valley,
claiming more water would have helped with the LA wildfires, wasting reservoir supplies that farmers will need later. The water was released into rivers that do not flow to Los Angeles.
You know, it's almost like Germany 1933, except this time we have Hitler, the world's first dictator, who smells exactly like you'd think he does. Between releasing millions of gallons of water for a PR stunt, to firing people who investigated him for decorating his bathroom with classified documents, or that time Crimes the Clown gave a pep talk to his overarmed and underfucked band of incel warriors to insurrect all over our capital, marking the people's house with their Cracker Barrel filled shit, because what else would you expect the poorly educated to do? Definitely not count. Because it's been more than one day since Eric Stad stole the presidency for a second time, and this dumpster fuck is still dictatoring all over our democracy. For example, what Ilania Muscatina did to USAID.
Musk taking aim at the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, which is in charge of dispensing tens of billions of dollars in foreign aid.
USAID's website has been offline for more than 24 hours.
USAID employees are waking up this morning to an email notice telling them not to show up to work today, as Musk says he is shutting the agency down.
As we dug into USAID, it became apparent that what we have here is not an apple with a worm in it, but we have actually just a ball of worms. You don't merely, like, if you've got an apple that's got a worm in it, maybe you can take the worm out. But if you've got actually just a ball of worms, it's hopeless. And USAID is a ball of worms. Mm-hmm. There is no apple. This, you've just got to basically get rid of the whole thing.
Will it take an act of Congress to do away with USAID, or do you believe
I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I can't say I expected Fat Nixon to know how our representative form of government operates, but you'd at least think that knowledge would be required of a president. Unfortunately, it's not in the Constitution, so no. Because while a U.S. District Court judge just issued a temporary restraining order on the firing of nearly 2,200 USAID employees, the Trump administration had the USAID building stripped of its title, its workers in limbo because they have nowhere to go back to work to, and an untold amount of food and medicine stranded at ports rotting. All because King Baby Coward rebranded humanitarian aid as fraud and wasteful spending to distract from the fact that the Musk from South Africa has a personal vendetta against the organization. See, USAID was investigating Starlink for its interference in the war in Ukraine. Back in 2022, USAID collabed with Starlink to provide 5,000 internet terminals to Ukraine and only Ukraine, paid for by American taxpayers. But then Russia began to know things only Ukrainians using Starlink to communicate would know. And then the Nazi South African shut down Ukraine's access to Starlink while they were right in the middle of an attack on a Russian naval fleet, compromising the mission, making phony Stark complicit in a major act of war, or at the very least, conflict escalation for the benefit of his favorite pocket-sized dictator from Russia. No joke, folks. These two have a kind of bromance where they chat all night on the phone, giggling about who's going to hang up first. So now that the cyber cuck is co-president of the United States, doesn't it make total sense why USAID had to go first? Oh, and remember, the head of the FAA getting the boot a couple of days before planes started falling out of the sky? It turns out Space Karen was being investigated by that agency as well for his rockets exploding overpopulated areas, causing damage and injury to people who were just trying to live their lives. In fact, on January 17th, the FAA had grounded SpaceX from shooting another spaceship-sized firecracker into the air until they can figure out what the hell is going on. And this made Elmo Muskrat very, very angry.
Son of a bitch!
And while we're on the subject of how angry we all are because an unelected villainaire is meddling in our government, seems like the Democrats went to a secondhand store and came back with a spine. They've been showing up with cameras and backup protesters to places like the Department of Education, where a skinny bald guy wearing the last members-only jacket was all that stood in their way from entering a building. Spoiler alert, the power of a dude who looks like he gets trespassed from every 7-Eleven for loitering proved to be too much for several members of Congress, a film crew, and 100 or more protesters because they never got into the Department of Education or the Department of Treasury or any other congressionally established government agency that was either investigating Elon Schmuck or responsible for educating the next generation of Americans who will be smart enough to know the swastika Führer is up to something and should be investigated. Meanwhile, the protesting of apartheid Clyde's mantraming all over our government continued as Democrats on the House Oversight Committee tried to have President Muskrat brought before Congress to answer for turning America into a demolition site. Here's how it turned out.
The role of Elon Musk. Who is this unelected billionaire that he can attempt to dismantle federal agencies, fire people, transfer them, offer them early retirement, and have sweeping changes to agencies without any congressional review, oversight, or concurrence. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, given his prominence and his importance, I move that the committee subpoena Elon Musk to come before it as a witness at the earliest possible moment.
There's been a motion and second. The motion is not debatable.
Mr. Chairman, why don't we want to debate Elon Musk coming in and talking to us about his work and how he's enriched himself for $64 billion.
Mr. Chairman.
Chair recognizes Dr. Fox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to table the motion.
There's a motion to table. There's a second. Second by Mr. Higgins.
Mr. Chairman,
I think it's outrageous that this committee will not even entertain a
motion. No, you state
Mr. Chairman, that's not a point of order.
Table. All those in favor of tabling signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
Because when you're a rep from Kentucky, where you have a shell company you use to defraud American taxpayers out of millions of dollars every single year so far, and the ranking Republican on the House Oversight Committee, they let you block anyone from holding the ketamine cowboy accountable. So that means no subpoenas for Muscolini, who is stealing Americans' private data, firing entire department staffs via email, and having former Jerry Springer bodyguards blocking elected representatives from entering buildings they've accessed hundreds of times before with absolutely no problem. Because that is what $270 million will buy an unelected, illegal immigrant and extremely petulant pimple looking to enact a coup d'etat on the once and no longer shining city on a hill.
And now for something completely different.
When it comes to the Trump administration's stance on international relations, it's becoming blatantly obvious the theme of the newly installed Leaning Tower of Treason's presidential sequel is Germany 1933. Only stupider. For example, our neighbors to the north and south, who've put up with very public talks about making their country our 51st state, or semi-private discussions on how much invading another nation is too much invading. And don't forget about how the broke-ass billionaire was going to punish Canada and Mexico with tariffs. How is that going, by the way?
This morning, America on the cusp of a trade war with its biggest trading partners after President Donald Trump signed three executive orders imposing 25% tariffs on all exports from Mexico and Canada, with a lower 10% tariff on Canadian energy exports and 10% tariffs on goods from China. Trump justifying the tariffs by blaming those countries for illegal drugs and undocumented migrants entering the U.S.
To balance out their trade, number one, that's got to stop people from pouring into our country, and we've stopped it. They haven't stopped it. We've stopped it.
One day later,
U.S. President Donald Trump, who announced the 25% tariffs on Saturday, says he agreed to put them on hold for 1 month after speaking today with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum.
Because, folks, that is all it takes. One phone call to Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum, and the tariffs are on hold for a month. And all Claudia had to do was promise to supply the same 10,000 Mexican troops at the southern border she already sent back in 2019, because Chito Benito is an orange-tinted moron. See, President Biden struck a deal with Claudia back in 2021 to extend the stay of those 10,000 troops and added another 22,000 to the lot for good measure. Claudia gave Genghis Khan nothing and got him to back down from unleashing tariff hell on her country for the next 30 days, and probably for the foreseeable future, especially after Canadian prime cutie Justin Trudeau pulled a Claudia on elderly Julius, getting his tariffs postponed for a month as well. And all Justin had to do was what he's already doing. Canada had already announced back in December that they were adding more troops to the border with the United States and creating specific measures to stop fentanyl from crossing, along with the American citizens smuggling the drug into their own country. But that, my friends, is a story for another time. For now, let's take a moment and reflect on why this tariff bullshit started in the first place. Spoiler alert. It's retaliation.
Canada's been very abusive of the United States for many years. They don't allow our banks. Did you know that? Canada does not allow banks to go in. If you think about it, that's pretty amazing. If we have a U.S. bank, they don't allow them to go in. It's been a one-way street. And for what? What do we get out of it? We don't get anything out of it. I disagree with the leadership of Canada, and something's going to happen there. But if they want to play the game, I don't mind. We can play the game all they want. Mexico, and this is retaliatory. This is retaliatory to a certain extent.
Aww. You can almost hear Payless Putin's thought process. It sounds like he thought he would just annex Canada and Mexico after tariffing them into economic ruin because he's a petty bitch. But now he's got no tariffs, no 51st state, no invasion of Mexico. How's that for art of the deal? So if mine incompetent lost it all of his leverage and got nothing in return, I guess there's always Gaza.
A stunning proposal from an American president, Donald Trump, with the Israeli prime minister by his side, declaring that the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip.
To have America control Gaza.
And redevelop it into something like a seaside resort.
Donald Trump calling for the permanent resettlement of roughly 2 million Palestinians. And he says he's willing to use the U.S. military to do it.
That on its face would both violate international law and be seen by millions as the U.S. backing explicit ethnic cleansing.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, will own it, and be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site, level the site and get rid of the destroyed buildings, level it out, create an economic development that will supply unlimited numbers of jobs and housing for the people of the area. We have an opportunity to do something that could be phenomenal. And I don't want to be cute, I don't want to be a wise guy, but the Riviera of the Middle East.
Oh, no worries there, sir. You're neither cute nor wise, and this latest stunt shows it. And for those of you in the back, this is something I've been saying would happen for several years now, ever since Israel started turning Gaza into a demolition site back in October of 2022. The destruction of the region, leveling places like places of commerce, residential housing, schools, mosques, hospitals, were all for one reason, and one reason only: to repurpose the land to create a port of commerce where Israel could receive shipments to boost imports and exports, entertain with fine dining and boutique shopping, and provide five-star hotel experiences for anyone who can afford it and isn't Palestinian. Not to mention that the canal Israel's prime nutter has been salivating for years, so he can compete with Iran's hold on international commerce in the region, that is within his grasp. What I did not anticipate is our dear leader getting a piece of that real estate pie. A lucrative colonizer venture, Republicans and the propagandists at Fox, not a news channel, were scrambling to rebrand as America First?
We're trying to get the details of it. It was a surprising development.
Senator Josh Hawley says, quote, "I don't know that I think it's the best use of U.S. resources to spend a bunch of money in Gaza."
We also heard from Senator Lindsey Graham. "I think most South Carolinians would probably not be excited about sending Americans to take over Gaza. I think that might be problematic."
It was a jaw dropper last night. The cover of the New York Post is, "We'll take over Gaza." I think this is just the tipping. You know, this is the conversation starter. Because obviously, the president knows when he says, "We'll take Gaza." He knows the United States can't invade another country.
What in the have you heard what Invasion Don said about Greenland is Steve Deuce even talking about? Of course, the lumbering lardass thinks he can invade another country. His favorite tiny dictator did it to Crimea in 2014 and has been in full-scale land grabbing of Ukraine since 2022. Why not Donald? Well, with his plans for the Gaza that Israel destroyed being directly in line with the Israeli prime nutbag's final solution for Palestine.
secret document put together by the intelligence ministry inside the Israeli government concludes that the best and final solution to the Palestinian problem in Gaza is to remove every last one of them from the area and move them into Egypt. This has been written since the October 7th Hamas attack. The executive summary says, the state of Israel is required to bring about a significant change in the civilian reality in the Gaza Strip in light of the Hamas crimes that led to the Iron Swords War. Therefore, it must decide on a political objective regarding the civilian population in Gaza. So the objective defined by the government requires intensive action to harness the United States and other countries to support this goal. The evacuation of the civilian population from Gaza to Sinai. The option that will yield positive long-term strategic outcomes for Israel and is an executable option. It requires determination from the political echelon in the face of international pressure, with the emphasis on harnessing the support of the United States and additional pro-Israeli countries for the endeavor.
Yeah, well, you got the United States, but Sinai is located in Egypt, and the Egyptian government, along with Jordan and Saudi Arabia, have all not only condemned the notion of removing all Palestinians from Gaza, they flat out refuse to take Palestinians into their countries. So where are the 1.8 million men, women, and children who fled their homes because their neighbor was blowing it up? Where are they supposed to go? Because we are talking about permanent relocation for any Palestinians Israel hasn't killed yet, right?
The president said his intention was to remove Palestinians from Gaza permanently.
I don't think people should be going back to Gaza. I think that Gaza has been very unlucky for them. If we can build something for them in one of the countries, and it could be Jordan, and it could be Egypt, it could be other countries, I think that Gaza maybe is a demolition site right now. If you look at Gaza, it's all, I mean, there's hardly a building standing, and the ones that are going to collapse. You can't live in Gaza right now. If we can get a beautiful area to resettle people permanently.
The next day.
Breaking just a short time ago, President Trump seemed to backtrack, but also to double down on his plan to take over Gaza.
But today, the press secretary said it would be temporary.
The president has made it clear that they need to be temporarily relocated out of Gaza for the rebuilding of this effort.
This is an uninhabitable place for human beings.
Who's gonna tell her? I'm gonna tell her. Propaganda Barbie, your fifth grade English teacher just called and is hysterically laughing at the way you struggled to say the word uninhabitable. Because this pick me just proved without a shadow of a doubt the Trump administration is not hiring based on merit or intellectual prowess, but rather lowering qualifications to the pasty colorlessness of your skin and the total of your husband's financial portfolio. Oh, and don't forget the pathological level of self-unawareness. This seems to permeate every single member of the MAGA regime. That's a personality flaw that will get you in like a 10-piece bucket with Fatty Krueger. And while we're on the subject of what's good for whites ain't good for any other color, let me present to you an executive douchebaggery signed by the president himself on February 7th, 2025.
Trump just signed an executive order to give refugee status to white people. He signed an executive order, and it's about South Africa. That's weird. He basically says that the government of South Africa is illegally taking land and property from the ethnic minority in South Africa. In case you don't know who that is, he's talking about white people. Now, in his executive order, he talks about how the government of South Africa is dismantling programs that are aimed to create equal opportunity in employment and education and business, giving refugee status to any ethnic minority Africana who the government's taken their shit away, which specifically is happening to white people. He literally talks about in this executive order how it is egregious that they are dismantling these programs to create equal opportunity in employment, education, and business. He also understands that white people in South Africa stole and hoarded resources during apartheid, and the government simply taken stolen shit back, but he don't like that.
That's right, kiddies. White South Africans, who make up just about 9% of the population in South Africa, but are 100% responsible for the wealth and land thrift during apartheid, are now considered refugees thanks to the right-wing Wonder Boy. In what can only be described as a solid for Sissy SpaceX, who grew up in South Africa during apartheid and whose family benefited from stolen money and real estate, and who's so good with those voting computers, he got Schindler back into the White House.
And remember, kids, the next time that somebody tells you the government wouldn't do that, oh, yes, they would.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media, on platforms like Blue Sky, Insta, Threads, and Facebook. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.